This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Humanitarian aid trickles into Gaza as Israel continues to prepare for a ground invasion. Plus, Meta grapples with how to moderate content in light of the ongoing conflict.
We see this pattern whenever there's a conflict. Pressure really comes against social media companies. They go from being the global town square to the battleground for the information war.
And Republicans crowd into the speaker race. It's Monday, October 23rd. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin this morning in Gaza, where humanitarian aid is trickling into the Palestinian enclave as Israel continues military operations there. Last night, a convoy of 14 trucks from Egypt delivered food, water, and medicine into Gaza after the first convoy carrying aid since Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th entered the territory on Saturday. Meanwhile, Israel Defense Forces spokesperson Daniel Hagari said yesterday that Israel is still preparing a ground invasion of Gaza.
IDF forces raided Gaza today, close to the border, as part of the effort to prepare the space for an attack following information on the missing and abducted, a top priority national mission. During one of the raids, an IDF fighter was killed and three fighters were wounded.
Yesterday, the United States held talks with Israel, the UK, France, and other countries in a bid to prevent a regional conflict and continue efforts to free the roughly 200 hostages held in Gaza. That comes as a new poll by the Wall Street Journal and Ipsos of U.S. public opinion shows that Americans broadly support Israel's response to the attacks by Hamas. Journal editor Aaron Zittner says that while the poll found limited desire for American involvement in the conflict, more Americans sympathize with Israelis than with the Palestinians.
A very small share of people have a favorable view of Hamas, whereas about 40-some percent of people in the survey have a favorable view of the Palestinians. But that said, American sympathies are clearly with Israel in this conflict, and in the long-running conflict with the Palestinians, we find that 42% of people say that the United States should take Israel's side in this broader ongoing conflict. Only 3% said the U.S. should take the Palestinian side. Now, that's a record high share of Americans saying that the U.S. policy should tilt toward Israel in polling that goes back to 2002. We should also say that this poll found something very interesting, a significant age difference in views of Israel. Younger people, much more than older people, are wary of Israel and have an unfavorable view of Israel and the U.S. responsibility toward Israel.
But it seems that an unfavorable view of Israel could have implications for businesses. Over the weekend, major tech companies, including Meta, Amazon, and Google, pulled out of Web Summit, one of the world's biggest tech conferences due to take place in Lisbon in just a few weeks, after Web Summit's CEO, Paddy Cosgrave, posted on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, that Israel's actions in Gaza equated to war crimes. Cosgrave resigned his post on Saturday, saying his personal comments had become a distraction from the event. And in a further sign of the complexities for businesses navigating the conflict, our reporter Sam Schechner has been looking at how Meta is managing internal controversy over moderating content related to the Israel-Hamas war. Sam, thank you so much for being with us. Take us into what is playing out inside Meta now.
Well, the same kind of divisions that we see in the current crisis in the broader world are reflected inside Meta. There are teams that are dedicated within the company to relations with Israel. And then there are other teams in a totally other office based out of Dubai that handle relations with the Arab world and with, say, rights groups based in Palestinian territories. And they often are at odds about how to apply Meta's policies and how they ought to be applied, and fighting over what counts as support for a terrorist group or what is merely support for one's own people. And we've seen that play out, indeed, in the last week. After Hamas stormed Israel and murdered civilians, there was a surge in hateful comments from the region on Instagram, and we got a hold of some internal documents that showed how Instagram basically boosted its filter against those kinds of hateful contents across the region, but found that it wasn't enough to stem the flow inside Palestinian territories, and so they raised it further. Now, Meta says that it needed to do that to achieve the same outcome across the whole region, but some employees inside objected. One posted internally, what we're saying and what we're doing seem completely opposed at the moment.
And Sam, just to be clear, the concern here is that the filters that maybe weren't working enough before have now been dialed up too far and maybe in a way that's not balanced?
Yeah, that's precisely it. That what's happened is that they dialed up the filters to deal with comments that violated their policies against, say, incitement to violence, harassment, things that the company has already pledged to not allow. But they dialed them up further in Palestinian territories than they did elsewhere. And it's sort of a question of equality of outcomes or equality of process. And there's some people inside the company who say, hey, we've pledged effectively equality of process and that we should be handling and applying our processes and policies equally across the globe. And the company says, hey, we have a responsibility to not show some of this content if it might be violating. And so we're going to have to set our filters in such a way that they do that.
And Sam, you report that a further complicating factor to all of this is just how fundamentally technologically challenging it is, right, to moderate different languages and then apply a quality on top of that.
Well, Meta didn't initially even have a classifier, which is a kind of term that they use to talk about essentially artificial intelligence, to find content that might be violating in Hebrew. And they had a lot of trouble with distinguishing hateful speech in certain Arabic dialects, including the ones spoken in Palestinian territories. And so we saw recent evidence of that where there was actually a glitch that had their AI system translating people's profiles where they just put the word Palestinian, a Palestinian flag emoji, and some innocuous Arabic, and it would translate it to Palestinian terrorists. So we can see that there's some biases baked into these artificial intelligence systems. And then they're trying to use those kinds of systems to monitor all this content. And so it does raise a challenge. The way in which they tightened these filters was essentially to lower the bar for what gets taken down. Normally, Meta systems would hide a comment like this, and this is the global policy, if the system thought that it had an 80% chance of violating their policy against these kinds of incitement to violence or bullying, etc. They had moved that threshold down to just a 40% chance across the region, but that's what they found wasn't enough. So in Palestinian territories now, on Instagram, if your comment has even a 1 in 4 chance of seeming to violate these policies, it will get hidden. And so it's a matter of them really applying a very broad brush that started to irk some employees internally and say, hey, this isn't fair. Hey, maybe we're suppressing otherwise legitimate comments that ought to be heard or just expressing views that don't actually violate our policies.
And that was Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sam Schechner. Sam, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Coming up, Republicans crowd into the race for House Speaker, and we'll preview the week ahead in tech earnings. Those stories and more after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
GOP lawmakers heading into another week without a speaker will now try to overcome deep divisions and unify behind a new candidate. There are 9 Republicans angling for the speaker job for them to choose between after Jim Jordan pulled out of the race on Friday. Minnesota's Tom Emmer, who serves as the House's majority whip, is among those who's announced a run and has already locked up an endorsement from former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And Emmer told reporters that the GOP need to gather around a candidate now, or they may as well elect a Democrat.
Well, if we don't think we're going to get 217 votes, then we ought to just give the gavel to Hakeem Jeffries. So we just got to work on it. It's different.
Other candidates include Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, who leads the conservative Republican Study Committee group, Byron Donalds of Florida, a political newcomer with ties to former President Donald Trump, and longtime lawmaker Pete Sessions of Texas. Hollywood actors are set to resume contract talks with studios and streamers this week in the latest effort to end a months-long strike that has brought TV and film production to a halt. Negotiations will restart tomorrow after the industry group representing companies like Warner Brothers Discovery, Disney, and Netflix ended talks because of a revised demand by the Screen Actors Guild to share in streaming revenue. The Actors Union, meanwhile, is facing pressure from some of its high-profile members to get the industry back to work, especially after writers ended their 5-month strike last month. Chevron says it has agreed to buy rival oil and gas company Hess for $53 billion in stock in the latest sign of consolidation in an energy industry that is flush with cash. The deal values Hess at $171 a share based on Chevron's closing price Friday. This comes weeks after ExxonMobil's $60 billion agreement to buy Pioneer Natural Resources, one of the industry's largest merger deals in decades. The stock market is in for a big test this week as tech stocks, including Amazon, Meta, Alphabet, and Microsoft, report their Q3 results. Those companies, along with Apple, Nvidia, and Tesla, are members of the so-called Magnificent Seven, which have powered the S&P 500's 11% return this year. Take those stocks out of the mix, and the index would be up just over 0.5%. Journal Markets reporter Karen Langley says that while analysts expect tech to once again outperform the S&P 500, the stakes are high, with some money managers saying that weak tech results could cause investors to reconsider what they're willing to pay for stocks more broadly.
We have seen in recent days that the market is ready to punish stocks when company results are disappointing. Tesla a few days ago missed expectations for sales and earnings, and its stock dropped more than 9% in a single trading day. Investors are going to be listening closely to what companies have to say about a couple topics in particular. One of those is artificial intelligence. Investors are really going to be listening closely for signs that companies are able to start turning excitement about artificial intelligence into profits. And then separately, for example, Apple is facing some restrictions on its business in China, which is a big market, and Amazon and Google are facing antitrust claims. Those might not be topics that the companies choose to talk about in their quarterly calls. Investors will certainly be all ears for any indications that the companies do give about them.
Chinese police have detained 3 current and former employees of advertising company Group M, a unit of London ad giant WPP, on suspicion of commercial bribery. Shanghai police allege that the 3 suspects accepted large bribes while working at the company dating back to 2019, though they provided few additional details. The detentions come amid growing concerns among foreign companies in China, following a series of police raids, detentions, and investigations into overseas firms earlier this year. Argentina's ruling party candidate for president, Sergio Massa, has come out on top in the first round of voting in the country's presidential election. Massa defied polls to beat out libertarian economist Javier Milei, who's promised to replace Argentina's peso with the dollar and shut the country's central bank. The results mean Massa and Milei will face each other in a tense November runoff to decide who will lead Argentina through its current economic crisis and tackle the imminent threat of hyperinflation. And finally, unless you live in a place like California or Nevada, you may not have come across or even heard about geothermal energy. In the past, geothermal was only possible in places where water and hot rocks were together and close to the surface, But now new techniques mean that geothermal energy could power homes and businesses in a lot more places. While some startups are testing techniques that are derived from the oil and gas industry, others are coming up with completely new technologies, including one company called Quaise. Its CEO, Carlos Araque, told my colleagues at the Future of Everything podcast that Quaise is working on drilling down 12 miles into the earth where conventional equipment just doesn't cut it.
We talk about millimeter wave drilling. It's basically using ideas from fusion research. We use energy beams, not lasers, but masers with an M, to vaporize rock.
To hear more about the next generation of geothermal energy, check out the latest episode of the Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal. And that's What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for the Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Till then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.